I'm here, so Highly Questionable is a lot more attractive and a lot funnier and a lot smarter. Also, Gonzalo Levitard, not my dad, but somebody's dad. And Mina's here. What are you excited about today, Mina?
Football. We actually like it.
Let's go.
Should the Rams be more concerned about their offense or their defense tonight?
All right, so we got Thursday Night Football, a big matchup between longtime divisional rivals, the Rams and the Seattle Seahawks. So I think there's lots of issues with their offense, but I think their offense is so connected to their defense. Right now, thus far in the season, they're scoring only about 3 points in the first half, and that's part of the problem with the defense. This defense was built to play with a lead because this team is built around having a reliable, high-scoring offense, which they haven't been able to produce so far. So they should be worried about both, especially going up against a quarterback like Russell Wilson, who's not going to give you any room for mistakes.
I'm actually going to pin it more on the offense. Until last week, in which the defense did give up 55 points, they've actually been quite good. But they gave up those points in part because Jared Goff turned the ball over 4 times. Quietly, since about last November, he struggled a bit, ranking near the bottom of quarterbacks in a lot of statistics, fumbling 10 games in a row. Now, you can put some of that on the scheme. It's no coincidence that he started struggling around the same time the defenses figured out how to stop the Rams' run game, their use of outside zone and play action. But he's a $134 million quarterback, and when you make that much money, you have to figure out how to bail out your team.
Yeah, and this team is always, we know, built around the outside zone. You know what you need to run an outside zone? It's a healthy and effective running back. And Todd Gurley, I'm not sure if he's healthy or not, but he's certainly not effective. They put a lot of pressure on him to carry this team offensively, but they're also trying to do something that is akin to load management, which I'm not sure works in football. When there's only 16 games, you kind of got to go all out. Right now, they're 3-1, and they're in good shape. But I have to believe if they can't get this offense humming, they're not going to be 3-1 for long.
I know one person who'll be rooting for the Rams tonight.
Who? No, no.
The truth is out.
That was for work. That
truth
was a
is
job.
Out. You know who also is upset about Mina switching sides? Russell Wilson. He called her out on Instagram because he is the king of Seahawks Nation and Mina's a traitor. Traitor.
Did somebody say Russell Wilson?
No, stop. Just no, whatever you, no.
I said it. I
it doesn't
said
even make
it.
Sense there. It really doesn't
it.
Make any sense. There's no, you can't just play this every time I'm on the show.
You remember like, back when you were a Seahawks fan? You remember that? You remember how painful this was back when you liked the Seahawks?
Why didn't they run the ball? You know, I said that every time, and they just keep throwing the ball. I don't understand that.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It's just a yard. You got a great big power back. I mean.
Do you think Chad Kemp really wants to keep Jalen Ramsey, or is just trying to drive up his trade value?
So Jaguars cornerback Jalen Ramsey has made it known that he would like to be traded. Jaguars owner Shad Khan would not like him to be traded, so he told the AP. I actually believe him, Dominique, and I say that I'm sure I'm a rube and they're going to trade him in the next 2 hours to the Eagles. But consider the facts. The Jaguars are surprisingly competitive. They somehow stumbled onto a competent rookie quarterback. And Jalen Ramsey is under contract for another year after this one. And they could franchise him after that. So they have a ton of leverage in this situation. And on top of that, by all accounts, Jalen's never had an issue with Khan. He also doesn't seem to have an issue with Marone, even though he did get a spat in him during the game. We know at this point that it's about him having beef with Tom Coughlin. And that's where it gets interesting, right? Because if Shad really wants to keep Jalen, it seems like at some point he's going to have to choose between him and Coughlin.
Yeah, and I think if you have to make that choice, I would lean towards Jalen Ramsey. I'm not sure that Tom Coughlin has done a really great job. When you draft good players, you should sign and keep those good players and keep them happy. I think Jalen Ramsey is that good, and Tom Coughlin is probably that replaceable. But I do take issue with him saying that they want to keep him, because if you want to keep a player like that, you sign him. If you look at that draft, all the players who are drafted in front of Jalen Ramsey have already been extended. So I understand what Mina says when they have him wrapped up for years after this, but it seems to be the precedent is you like your guy, you pay your guy, you keep your guy. I have to believe that he plans on trading him, and this is only to drive the trade value, unless he plans on handing his organization over to someone else to run the player personnel matters and keep Jalen Ramsey, because I don't think that they can coexist going forward with Jalen Ramsey and Tom Coughlin.
I know one cornerback who never had any trade value.
I actually got traded, so I had trade value because I was traded. It was for pennies, but the trade happened. So I did have trade value at some point.
Do you believe Kirk Cousins when he says he doesn't know what the press says about him?
Okay, so Kirk Cousins lied to the Minneapolis Star Tribune by telling them that he doesn't know anything that the press says about him. Like, that's so foolish to me. So I spent a couple days with Ryan Clark on Get Up. Ryan Clark used to play with Kirk Cousins, and he said the exact opposite. He said Kirk Cousins is completely consumed with how he is perceived in the media, and all the actions that he does is about how he's being perceived in the media. And we have some real evidence that we can point to that just happened last week on the podcast. He publicly apologized to Adam Thielen. Like, I've been on teams where people have played poorly enough that they felt the need to apologize to their teammates. You know where you do that? You do that in a locker room with those guys. You do it in a team meeting. You do it personally inside the locker room unless you're concerned with how it's received. The only reason why you do it publicly is because you know what's being said about you and you want people to understand how you feel and you want them to take your side and you want them to see that and say, look, Kirk Cousins, take a responsibility because you care about what they're saying about you in the media.
I don't think Kirk Cousins had to read tweets or articles after last week to know that people were going after him. I kind of believe him to some degree. Here's why. A couple years ago, a pal of mine named Kevin Clark, no Ryan Clark, wrote an excellent story about Kirk Cousins and his contract and had a telling anecdote. Apparently, Kirk Cousins' favorite show is The Office, unsurprisingly the American version, and he loves it so much that he told Kevin he DVR'd every episode and built a database of all of his favorite episodes of The Office, to which I say, does Kirk Cousins not know about streaming and Netflix? I think it's entirely possible he's just extremely not online. He might not be lying about that.
I tell you what, he never reads.
What?
The defense. That's it. He never reads the defense.
He's right. He's right. The answer to all defensive coverages is throw it to the back.
How should Clayton Kershaw feel about not getting the ball for the Dodgers playoff opener tonight?
Okay, so the playoff opener tonight, they've decided to go with Walker Buehler over Clayton Kershaw. Buehler is obviously a very good pitcher, but Clayton Kershaw is the ace. And I understand he has a history of choking in the playoffs, but if you believe that he has a history of choking in the playoffs, you have to believe that it's mental. And how is this helping his mental fortitude by putting him on the bench? Like, I feel like this is showing him that you don't have confidence in him, and this is only going to make it worse. So I think you got to trust your big arm, the guy who you pay all the money, and you put him out there to start the game and hope that things work out.
I think this is less about Kershaw and more about Buehler because his home away splits are fairly dramatic. He's been much better in Los Angeles where he's 6-1 with a 2.86 ERA, which is why they're rolling him out in game one so then they can pitch him again in game five at home. I would actually have Kershaw pitch on the road where he's been good in game three. Potentially they could use him in the bullpen in game five. None of this matters because Dominique said the word choke. It's a story about Kershaw. He's going to do the thing and his face is going to turn red and everyone's going to remember anything I said.
Every year Kershaw gets to a start, and I get to do my choking impersonation. You know, this year, you know, I'm very disappointed that I can't do it, you know. But this guy now, he gets a lot of pressure on him, so pretty slow.
No, no.
Does Brandon Marshall have any chance of becoming the heavyweight champion of the world?
Any chance. So Brandon Marshall, former NFL wide receiver, recently retired, made an announcement on his own Instagram. Let's watch.
I'm about to do the unthinkable. 13 years NFL, 35, phenomenal shape, just went 24 rounds. I'm about to do the unthinkable. Heavyweight champion of the world. A lot of people didn't try and failed. I promise you, Joshua, Wilder, Ortiz,
Fury,
all them boys, y'all can get it. I'm telling you, y'all not tough, y'all not strong. Where I come from and what I've been doing in my life, bro, I'm built for this. I promise you that. I'll see you next May.
Like the guy off screen feeding him the name Fury in case he forgot an extra one. The question was, does he have a chance? No. I mean, he's 35 and he's new to this. He was pretty physical as a wide receiver, had good hands, line of scrimmage, but I kind of doubt he's going to become the heavyweight champion of the world. To me, the biggest question is, why is he doing this? And Dominique, you could probably answer this better than me. Like, after an NFL career, I'd think, let's get your brain a rest. Maybe go on TV, you know, I mean, Dominique has it pretty good.
So I know Brandon Marshall. We played together for 3 years when I was in Denver. We've maintained somewhat of a relationship. And this is exactly what you said, Mina. He should go do the media. That's what he is doing. Like, he's creating a little bit of a buzz around his name. He wants us to talk about him so that maybe it could go into some sort of media career. Because Brandon knows how difficult it is to play football. He knows that you can't just walk out of nowhere and go play football. So he has to understand that you can't just come off the football field and train for 24 rounds and suddenly beat the heavyweight champion. Brandon's about 6'5", pretty strong, big guy. But come on, you have to have learned something on your way up in the boxing ranks that Brandon Marshall does not know. And he will get his face pounded in, most likely, well before he gets to Anthony Joshua or Ruiz or who's that other guy?
Fury.
There you go.
So you're saying he made that video so that it would become a talking point on sports television.
Well done, Marsh.
This guy's not a heavyweight. You want to see a real heavyweight?
Oh, yeah.
All right. There you have it. There's the biggest heavyweight of all time. There you have it. That's right. Number uno.
Beautiful.
On top of
fantastic.
The heap.
Fantastic.
That's right.
Sexy.
Coming up next on my son's TV show.
Oh.
Water. Oh.
It's
he's going to go through the maze.
No, he's not.
He's thinking about
it. No, he's not.
It looks like a dachshund. Oh, wow. Look at that.
Fail.
No.
Fail.
No. No.
Fail.
No.
Loser. Boom. Boom. Boom.
You see a loser. I see a very smart dog that figured out the quickest way is a straight line.
My Son's TV show is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need. Time to play the game that is finally doing this show. He always wanted. Do you question?
I'm sorry, Dan. You give us topics and events, we question them.
I'm not.
Do you question the defense?
Okay, I imagine that this is probably not professional defense. I do believe that I'm being told that it is middle school girls basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
number
look
one
at that.
Is cooking, double
nice.
Team.
Ooh!
Oh!
Buckets!
Wow! Wow! Can we wait? Okay.
It's not the defensive fault.
Yeah, look at number 44.
Hands up, hands up. She's coachable.
I mean, that's what I would be doing, I would question that. Also, I just like to point out this is middle school girls basketball, and there was a baseball game last night.
Oh, man. No video from baseball.
Oh, she's going to win the NBA before Melo. I guarantee you that.
Oh, that's so
mean. Any takers?
No.
Oh. No, no.
Carmelo deserves a chance. It's free Carmelo Anthony.
I mean...
Do you question if this is an impressive run or bad defense?
Oh, I think we're going out to some youth football. This has got to be impressive. Let's see it. Okay, hit the edge.
Right,
oh, stay up.
Right. Oh, no.
Punish him.
Oh,
finish
no.
the run. Nice.
Oh.
Nice.
Good look. Okay, so this okay. is fine, but this right here, the defender.
This is better than fine. Yeah. Give it to him.
Oh.
Don't come over if you don't want that.
Oh.
I have one piece of advice for number 9.
Oh, yeah? What?
Play soccer.
That's pretty good advice. I like that advice.
Yeah,
that's good advice.
Could, yeah.
Do you question if this was a good effort?
So, all I'm told is this involves a maze. Let's see it. Oh.
Water. Oh.
Oh,
it's a go. He's going to go through the maze.
No, he's not.
He's thinking about
no,
it.
He's not.
It looks like a dachshund. Oh, wow. Look at that.
Fail.
No.
Fail.
No. No.
Fail.
No.
Loser. Boom. Boom. Boom.
You see a loser. I see a very smart dog that figured out the quickest way is a straight line.
No, but it's clearly a maze. If he was actually smart, he would have wound his way through a maze like a smart dog would, but that dog's a dummy.
Oh, he's not that dumb.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Oh.
Oh, there's a follow-up?
Oh.
Okay.
I like that.
All right.
Look.
All right. Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's well. Yeah, now that's impressive. That's good work right there.
Why didn't they show this video first?
Good work.
Also, there's no exit to the maze. That's just cruel. What a
uh-oh.
Good boy.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on. Figure it out.
What a
don't
good
be a quitter.
Boy.
Don't
oh,
be a quitter. There you go.
Oh.
That's impressive. Good job. What about that other dog that came and looked? It was like, nah.
I miss my dog.
You miss Lenny?
Oh.
Oh,
oh,
there's
boy. Oh. There he is. Look at the this. Look at this.
Oh, God.
Oh, look at that straight line
speed.
Does
not look trustworthy.
Look at those fluid hips.
Dishonest.
Look at this. Look at that vert.
Oh, God.
Wow. Wow. It's really, oh, I love this montage. It's kind of not the same when Dan's not here to get annoyed by it.
Highly questionable. This broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami. Time to play the game that has so much room now that Dan is gone. See? Oh, no.
You threw me off on that one. You tell us what to watch on TV tonight, and we'll tell you if we're intrigued.
What was that? Like a dance?
It was just, he was expressing the room. You got a show, you got a little bit of room.
Load of room now.
Tomorrow on Fox Sports 1, Rays and Astros.
See, I am intrigued. This is the time of year when I watch baseball. So the Rays have already won one game, the wild card game against the A's, and now they're moving on. So I will be tuning in for baseball. Mina, are you intrigued?
Of course I am. The Astros were my preseason pick to win it all, which is not bragging. They were the favorites. They were everybody's pick. But as a Mariners fan, all I really care about is being right.
Poppy, intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very, very intrigued. Listen, all these experts, you know, they go in and they pick the Astros. Anybody can do that because they are the powerhouse, you know. But there is only one analyst in the ESPN that is going to pick the underdog. And that analyst is, I am the one who's going to do it. You know, I'm picking up the race to
there
win.
You go.
They're going to win the first game, and then they're going to lose the other three or four. That's it.
Well done. Well
you're
done.
So brave.
Tonight on Fox Sports 1, USA versus South Korea.
See, I am intrigued. Both of these teams are very good. I particularly love the greatness of the U.S. national team, but we're going to show you a clip of the American Professional League where we have Julie Ertz and Rose Lavelle going at each other, two National League players. Oh, nice shot.
Look at that nutmeg.
Oh, she megged her.
But then didn't make the goal.
That's all right. Sometimes the N1 mixtape has to stop after you cross somebody over. Mina, are you intrigued?
Yes. Whenever USA plays Korea, people always ask me, who are you rooting for being a Korean person? The answer is, it depends if my mom's in the room.
Poppy, intrigued.
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. But you want to see who my favorite the women's soccer player is?
Sure.
Right there.
Okay, we got a little breakaway action. Oh!
That's it.
Nice safety. She didn't hit her in the head. That's a good hit. Between the belt, nice job.
What is this grainy stuff film soccer video?
That's a great
where
hit.
Did you guys find it?
Good form tackle. You can't let him run free in your backfield like that.
Streaming on Showtime, 100% Julian Edelman.
So it appears that they've just released some deleted scenes from Julian Edelman's documentary. Here's a clip of him talking about Bill Belichick.
And I'm sitting there, and I look, you always take a look who's in there. And I look, and there's Bill with pitch black. He's got the film on, got the big old book out, full pencil in the ear, writing notes, watching film on treadmill, 11 o'clock at night. No one's there. You know, it's unreal. It's insanity. And so I hurry and scatter out of there so he doesn't by any chance see me. That's the last thing I would want at that time in my life and career. Because then I'd have to engage in a potential conversation, and I don't know if I had the stamina for that at that time. So then you know, I go somewhere in the facility, and I just so happen to walk by the hot tub, and Coach is in the hot tub. Like, obviously I came in the room to go in the hot tub. But then we made eye contact, and my natural instinct was to like turn around and like I was gonna leave. But then I saw that he saw that I was in there, and then he got up and got out. And real, real big party foul by a coach. I mean, we're supposed to have shorts on. Supposed to have shorts, but I guess at 11 o'clock when you're the goat of coaching, you go wherever you want. I had to hide my absolute face of terror after seeing what I saw and sit in the hot tub.
No, I'm not intrigued, and I'm not sure how this video was supposed to intrigue me. This is supposed to make me want to watch this? I don't care about Coach Belichick's package unless it is an on-field package.
What are you talking about? That story is nuts. Now, somebody, not me, somebody might listen to that and make a Deflategate joke, but I am too classy for that.
Nice. Well done. Poppy, intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. Police, and it could have been worse. It could have been Andy Reid. That's right. That's the guy. You don't want to see.
He doesn't have any Super Bowls, and we're taking shots at him. Poor Andy.
Put some respect on Andy Reid's name.
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for watching.
See you tomorrow. It's going to be us again.
You're welcome.
You guys are back tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, oh, man. Oh, I got to get out of here. Need a break.
I thought you liked us.